Now, my text is in the Gospel according to Matthew, and chapter 1, and verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Matthew 1, verse 23. When we think of this day particularly, it is not only to remember the birth of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ and the family, and the most lovely of families, Joseph and Mary and the Lord Jesus Christ. And also for us too, it is a very special family time when we remember the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and we make every effort we can to be together as families. It is very special, and we love it very much. But we are looking today at this blessed family and at the Nativity. There have been, I suppose, thousands and thousands of churches before Christmas Day having little children playing the Nativity play. And each one, I'd never graduated more than one of the shepherds. I didn't get even to a wise man. But I was always a shepherd, and that was about all, I think. Some of you may have been privileged to be one of the wise men, or Joseph, or Mary. But it does bring memories back. And in my particular case, in the chapel I went to, a Welsh chapel in Lancashire, when we were following the stars as shepherds, the star went the wrong way. And the shepherds were taught to go the other way, so there's a division. The star went that way, and we went the other way. Still, it was a very nice little play. It is also the last Sunday of the year. It isn't often that happens, but now and again it does. It is with time we remember the Incarnation and also the last Sunday. And so it is a double kind of thing where we look back and remember over the past year. And that's why I've chosen this text. This word, Emmanuel, God with us. And every one of us who asks a question, were we aware of that during the last year? That God was with us. And whatever our circumstances may have been, whatever may have happened, whatever our lot, that we were able to say, He didn't forget me, and He didn't leave me. God was with us. And this is the aspect we have in this text. Emmanuel, God with us. There can be no more lovely promise than that, to know that in every situation in life, in all our circumstances, that God is with His people. He's with us all our lives. He's with us in the valley. And He's with us also in that great day. Now let's look at this for a moment now. The first word that I bring this morning is the word incarnation. It's familiar to most of us. But what it means is that the second person of the Trinity, who had absolute deity, took on the form of a servant and took on human flesh. And we call it the Incarnation. It's poetically and beautifully put by Charles Wesley when he said, "Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see." And this is our Saviour, with absolute divinity, perfect humanity. This is our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And there was a time in the history of the world when He came. And He was born as a child, would be born in that natural way of Mary. And yet there's something rather special about it all. Let me read you some verses. And I'm always thrilled when I see a prophecy in the Old Testament and how it is fulfilled in the New and also referred to. Let me read you this verse from Isaiah 7, verse 14. "Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." If you stay on that for a moment, it's a very remarkable thing that all that time, hundreds and hundreds of years before the birth of our Lord, that Isaiah said to the people then that there will be a child born of a virgin. It's not the kind of thing that you would say. It's the kind of thing that people would say, well, even we know that that would be impossible in a natural way. Yet in his prophecy there shall be a virgin and she'll give birth to a child. And his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. In the account here particularly, Joseph is not forgotten, and an angel appears to Joseph to prepare him for this great event. Let me read you the words, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and here we have the link with the Old Testament, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And so we begin there in Isaiah, in the prophecy, also the angel speaking to Joseph, and also the reference of the birth, and that a virgin would bear a son, and his name would be Emmanuel. A virgin birth. We believe that. We believe in this miraculous birth. We don't believe that it is a kind of a concept or an idea, of a beautiful idea. It happened. And in the fullness of time, this happened. This great and glorious event. Angels worshipped and adored and glorified God. Wise men came to see him. Shepherds also were visited by an angel. And they came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. The virgin birth speaks to Mary. And the account there is in Luke. And this is how he addressed her. The angel answered and said unto her, because she felt, how can this be? The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. Now listen to these words. They're wonderful words. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest, that is the power of the Godhead, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing that shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God. It's clear there. Shall be called the Son of God. Now his birth is also a normal birth in the human flesh from a normal human mother, who nevertheless was a virgin and gave birth to a son. It's a special miracle that yet the birth is a straightforward, ordinary birth, but extraordinary, because the conception is of the Holy Ghost, and this holy thing that shall be in her shall be called the Son of God. And in our hearts this morning, we say amen to this, because we believe in the virgin birth, and we believe it through that gracious act of faith by our God in the heart of our soul, and we know it to be true. We have not got to think, how can this be? We haven't got to think of it in any other special way. It is declared to us by God because something wonderful happened. And this now, foretold by prophets, planned in eternity, now arrived in time, the beginning of this great event. Our Lord took to himself a complete human nature. He was born as a man. That is true. He was born with a complete human nature. He was born as a man. Yet, I must point out one difference. Yet, without sin. Everything else is true of him, but without sin. In no way does he surrender his complete divine nature. So now we have a person who has two natures. We have one, a human nature and a sinful human nature. He has perfect, sinless human nature and divine nature. He does not surrender in any way his complete divine nature. However, he was always the Son of God. Even in eternity, the Son of God, He was primarily the Son of God as the eternal Son of God in his pre-existence, as well as we knowing him as the Son of God here on earth. Let me explain to you. In the eternal Godhead, there never was a time when the Father was not begetting the Son. There never was a time when both were not sending out the Spirit. So there they are, co-eternal, co-equal in the Godhead. And the second person of the Godhead is the Son of God, eternally so. But now amongst men and women, we behold the Son of God, veiled in flesh, the Godhead seen. He became man without ceasing to be what he eternally was. And of his own free will, deliberately he came to accomplish our salvation in the fullness of time. So that is really just briefly the picture we have here now. God sent him. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But he was willing to come. So the beginning of this great story of redemption is in the heart of the Godhead. Knowledge for the prophets. Then we have this holy thing born in Mary. And from now we have the beginning of a wonderful story, which we call the Incarnation. And if you're a Christian here this morning, you are, and we are, the fruits of the Incarnation, when we look at it in totality. Next word is this, the invitation. He shall save his people from their sins. He told Joseph this. Now this will be the purpose of his entry into the world. He shall save his people from their sin. There will be a day in the history of the world when the Son of God has come, and he has, and then to begin this strange and this glorious mission to make it possible for men and women to come to God, so that we will be able to say, he is my Emmanuel. He is with me, and I know that he is with me. Now, that is the most comforting and a glorious thing. If you put that aside for a moment, and if this world were still going on without the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we would have a multitude of different ideas on the meaning of life. There would be nothing that we could even explain. Probably we would have a multitude of greater and lesser little gods. Some we'd carry in our pockets, some we'd have at home. There would be all sorts of philosophies and all sorts of ideas. But a blanket over them all would be desolation and despair. That's all there would be. And that, you know, was a particular feature before the birth of Jesus Christ. Philosophers had almost gone to the nth degree in knowing what could be known and could be argued and could be thought. Results, despair and desolation. The world in that sense was ready for this great revelation. It isn't a thing that you can be argued. It is a thing that is revealed to this world and revealed also individually. Now, why did he come? He came to save his people from their sins. If we leave that out of our preaching, we are not preaching Christ. He came to save his people from their sins. That's why he came. I take a verse from another part, because I think it is one of those verses that puts it all so clearly. If I should be asked for a number of verses that put the mission of Christ into a nutshell or briefly put together, this is one of the verses I would choose. And I believe also it might be the first one that I would choose. I think so. Here it is in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Allow me to stay 3 or 4 minutes on that wonderful verse. He came to save his people from their sins. How did he do it? Well, here it is now put in a very brief but a very profound way by the Apostle Paul. God sent him, for he, God, made him to be sin. He never became sinful. Never. He always retained his innocence. He was tempted like as we are, not only in that time when Satan tempted him, but also all during his life. He was tempted like as we are, yet he never fell to sin. He always resisted sin. He was sinless. So now we have God sending his Son into this world, and the Lord, said Isaiah, laid on him the iniquity of us all. That, in this phrase, made him to be sin. Not sinful, but the weight and the blame and the shame and the horror of all that was waiting this baby at a particular time in history, when the Lord would lay on him a weight that would sink a very world. A weight that we cannot even describe. He made him to be sin for me. He made him to be sin for you. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious part, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. The principle, the power, the detail, past, present, future sins are nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. For he, God, hath made him to be sin for us. What were his qualifications? Who knew no sin. The second person of the Trinity, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the altogether lovely one, our bright and morning star, the Son of God, that he knew no sin. We can hardly imagine it, because we know sin in our minds, in our desires, and in our lives. We know sin, but he knew no sin. It was no part of him. So God laid his weight upon him. What for? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I need to be pure as God if I'm going to heaven. No man can achieve that. Impossible. Whatever he may boast, and however sweet and kind he is, no man can do that. But Jesus helps us. So this is what he does. He takes my unworthiness and puts it on himself, and he pays the wages for sin and dies for me. But I'm naked. The law still demands that I should fulfill the law. I cannot fulfill the law. What does he do? He gives me his life. He submits it to the law for me, and he gives me his life and says, there, I give you my robe of righteousness. Wear it. I'm dressed in beauty, not mine own. We are debtors to mercy alone, and of covenant mercy we sing. He shall save his people from their sins and the consequences of their sins. So now then, when we come by repentance and faith to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how does God see us? He sees us as completely clean, ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ, and dressed in the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is how he sees us. He did that for us. Isaiah saw it. When he looked at the cross from a distance, he said, he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. This is our Jesus. And Isaiah could see dimly in the future his crucifixion and the meaning of it. Wounded for me, bruised for me, chastised for me. And if I then have believed in him, God will not demand punishment twice. We are a forgiven people. The invitation is out. That's a wonderful thing. The invitation is out. And it is the only way to come to God through Jesus Christ. And Paul said in Romans, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Think, my friends, of that now today. And whatever our situation may be, if we are Christians and we know this Emmanuel and we have believed in him and our sin is nailed to the cross and he's given us his robe of righteousness and all this is because he came into this world, born of a virgin, this incarnation, the story of it goes right through his life. And we look and say, well, I have believed. I have come to him. I belong to him, and he belongs to me. If you're able to say that, you're able to say in all your circumstances, when everything seems to go against us, to drive us to despair, and there are days like that in the history of a country, in the history of the world, in the history of an individual, but I'm speaking individually now, when everything seems against us, and everything is going wrong, to drive us to despair. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Emmanuel. Or listen to this verse in the same chapter of Romans. And we know, not think or doubt or wonder, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. That's a wonderful thing. Sometimes we wonder, how can that or how can that? It is not ours to reason and sort that out. We know we are in his hands. His name is Emmanuel, and we are safe because God is with us in all this situation and working his purposes out. Do you believe it? O Jesus Christ, I come to thee. The invitation is out. Is there anything left? Yes, there is. I call it an introduction. There will be a day when we appear. When we appear before God. And the main issue will be, who is for you? And if we're able to say, Emmanuel, God is with me. If I'm able to say that from the depths of my soul and my heart, then all is well, because he will not fail us. Listen to how it's put by Jude. When we are presented by our blessed Savior to his Father, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That's a wonderful thought. To keep us from falling. Maybe we stumble sometimes, but we do not fall. We do not fall out of his arms. We do not fall out of grace. We do not fall out of that relationship. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Now, how can that be? How can miserable little me, I often fail him and often disappoint him and myself, how shall I be presented glorious before God? This is the reason. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. My sin imputed to Jesus and his purity imputed to me, dressed in beauty, not mine own. And God sees us as we are in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is such a bargain. It is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. You might say, it is almost too wonderful to be, yet this is so. And when we come to it, the reality burns in our hearts. Do you remember the two on the way to Emmaus? And Jesus Christ had been crucified, and they were not understanding it at that time. And he joins them, and when he left them and he revealed himself to them, they said, did not our hearts burn within us as he walked with us and explained the scriptures to us? Of course our hearts burn. Because we know that even if we are left on our own in this world, that a Christian is never, never able to say he's on his own, because Emmanuel, God, is with us and will present us one day with exceeding joy, faultless before the presence of God. That's why he came, to save his people from their sins. So there, in eternity planned, prophesied by the prophets. Then in time, we have the virgin birth. And then his glorious life, where he fulfilled the law of God for you and for me. Then his amazing death, how he paid the penalty for our sin, for you and for me. And he invites us to come to him, that we might repent of our sin and exercise faith in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. If you're not his this morning, then I would appeal to your soul. I'd appeal to your heart. I'd appeal to you to consider what a day for Christ to be born in you. What a wonderful day that is when we are remembering the birth of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that he might be born in us, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity, please as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. So for the Christian then, what is death? It is an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. That's why he came, to save his people from their sins. And in our hearts that name is precious to us. Emmanuel. Born in time, in the fullness of time. And yet, going toward that hour, my hour, his hour, when the fulfillment of that which was intended in the incarnation is performed and fulfilled. The world could never be the same again, and everyone who comes to him can never, never be the same again. We become heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. We are children of God. Let me finish by reading one or two of these verses here. Let earth and heaven combine, angels and men agree to praise in songs divine the incarnate deity. Our God, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. You cannot reason it out. You cannot philosophize it. It is a fact. It is reality. It happened. Made by ourselves now. Made perfect by his love and sanctified by grace, we shall from earth remove and see his glorious face. Then shall his love be fully showed, and man shall then be lost in God. And we mean by that that we shall be lost in wonder, love, and praise. Not that we just become a nothing, but that we shall gaze upon him and look upon him and wonder and say, I cannot find words. Then he gives us words. I cannot find a melody without too great for me to make one. I'll give you a melody, singing celestial, words that are glorious, and we shall worship him forever and forever. And the weariness and the tediousness and the sin of this world no longer shall have anything to do with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we worship thee and praise thee and ask thee, O Lord, to make these things real to us. We thank thee that thou hast the people on this earth in so many different places. We ask thee, O Lord, to endue thy ministers with righteousness and make thy chosen people joyful. Hear us, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Amen.